face of Manchester United. What a turnaround at the Emirates.
Thank you for downloading this episode of the Football Purist Podcast. Please help by subscribing and check out footballpurist.com.
Welcome to a transfer review, season preview of the Purely Arsenal Podcast special. I got Neil Shah with me. How you doing, Neil?
I'm excited.
Absolutely, mate. We're going to talk a little bit about why in a second. Also got Michael Harris with me. How you doing, Michael?
I'm good, Jack. I'm super excited.
Hey, guys, he's one up you, mate. He's one up.
He's one up me, damn it.
God knows what Mark is, but he's running a little late, so we're going to add him in about 15 minutes. But I'm sure he'd have something else to say as well. But I don't know where to start. Let's start with you, Neil. I mean, look, we've done one podcast since, but we've been battered in the Europa League, mate. Awful January transfer window. Suarez on loan, never played a second, really. Told we got a measly 45 million budget to strengthen almost every area on a pitch. And now we sit here a day after the transfer window's closed, and we've done all this business, all of it, I feel, a lot of it, very positive. How do you feel, mate? How do you feel the transfer window went?
Well, I feel very happy, to be honest. Let's first congratulate Rahul for coming in and doing what he's been able to do with what we all thought initially as a very paltry budget, which wasn't going to really do anything for us. And he's managed to turn it around by not only getting decent players from the looks of it, but getting the players that we needed in the positions where we showed weakness. You know, we've got so many good players where they can fit in. So that first and foremost, the positions that needed to be addressed were the defence. You know, we've got Tierney, who is obviously a class act. It remains to be seen how he's going to do in the Premiership, but I think he's got everything within him to be able to succeed and do well. He may not start off amazingly well, but it might take a little bit of time and adjustment, but I think he'll do well. Then David Luiz out of absolutely nowhere. Now, I know there are some Arsenal fans which may have questioned and raised eyebrows over that, but essentially he's been there and done it in the Premiership. So for me, he can slot in straight away. And what I like about him, he may be reckless at times, but he's got leadership qualities, and I think he'll be a huge influence off the pitch and on the pitch. And I don't think he will stand for any silly mistakes and things from his defensive lineup. And then I can just go on. We've got Martinelli, who looks good. I don't know whether he's been promised some game time, as you told me earlier, Jack. The little bit I've seen of him, he looks very composed. He looks confident. He can run at defenders, and he can get the ball to stick at his feet. He doesn't seem to show any fear, so that's an option we can use. And then you've got the guy that we've got off loan. I can never pronounce his name, so I'll just call him Danny. Real Madrid,
very nice.
Been there and done it. You know, he looks like a creative player, someone that we've been missing. So all of that kind of stuff where we had Torreira come in last season, and I think a lot of pressure was put on him. He can now be removed from that kind of situation, and he can let more creative players do that kind of stuff. And Torreira may be able to now fill in as a true kind of DM or a DM role. And then, you know, you've got Pepe and who's, well, again, our record signing, 72 million. Whoever thought Arsenal would go and spend 72 million on a player, albeit it's by instalments, but it's still a 72 million purchase. And, you know, I've got a feeling he might be another one like David Luiz, who could potentially start off very quickly. It remains to be seen whether he'll commence right away from Sunday, because I think he's got to get some match fitness behind him. I believe, I could be wrong, but I think, gosh, full of skill, not afraid again. He'll run at defenders, and he can do the business. And then obviously we've got Saliba. I can never pronounce his name. Sorry if I've got that wrong.
Yeah, Saliba.
And you know, for me, a perfect. Yeah, okay. We've had to loan him back as part of the deal. But another, for me, a beast, someone who can command the defence, And it's almost like we can have David Luiz in this first season, and then Saliba can come over next season, and you know he can just almost take his place. He just like for like fit if you will. And oh, I think it's just amazing. I can go on and on, but I think Rahul has done amazing. We've had a very small and tight budget to play with, and I think he has surprised everyone. And I firmly believe that this is probably one of the best windows we've had in years. And I'm not going to take anything away from Wenger. I don't like talking bad about him, but it's almost as if I'm not sure this would have happened if Wenger was still in charge. I'm not quite sure he would have been courageous enough to get rid of Iwobi, because the likes of Iwobi and Theo, who I think are very similar, who showed great potential but never quite got there, I think we would have still had players like Iwobi in the squad. So I think the new regime is really making strides. We did say we need to give Emery a couple of windows, and so it's already foretold that's the case. So I'm rambling on. I do apologise. I will stop there. But excited, thrilled, and I can't wait to see all these players fit in and hopefully do the business for us, guys.
Yeah, it's been a mental window, really, especially when you think 2 weeks or so ago we had Josh Kroenke might come out and say, you know, be excited. And I think we all laughed at that a little bit, didn't we? Because we felt we'd heard it before from his dad, and we just felt it was the same thing all over again. But David Ornstein says it's been a terrific window for us. He says Rao and this Huss family, who's really the guy that kind of closes the deals from what I hear, whereas Rao's the guys with the endless contacts that just seems to be able to find these deals. But out of the transfers in, we'll get onto the transfers out. I know Neil touched on them a little bit there, which I do want to talk about. It's quite interesting. But on the transfers in, which ones do you feel that can come in, Mike, and make immediate impact? Because we do need that, don't we? We've got to get back in the Champions League.
Oh, yeah. I definitely think, I think David Luiz, as Neil's touched on, he's ready to get in there. He's Premiership, you know, sorry, Premier League. He knows what that's all about. You know, he's obviously won it a few times. He knows what it's all about in terms of, you know, the importance of playing against Arsenal in the past, so the importance of playing for us and against, you know, our rivals that we'll make, you know, cross swords with in future. I think he's going to be the one that, you know, will bring, you know, I think, again, as Neil touched on, he's vocal. You know, you always see him. He's either having a go at the opposition striker, or he's having a chip at his own teammates when something's gone wrong or someone's done a pass or something that he's not happy with, you know. And he's prone to his mistakes, as we know. But it's good to see someone vocal like that, and someone who's going to have a go back, compared to maybe players that we've had in the past who, you know, when something went wrong, their heads sort of went down and they just sort of focused on their own game. You know, talking about our previous, you know, captain who, you know, we've said it many, many times. It's not because of what he's done and how he's gone about his exit. There's been many times where things have gone wrong, and you look at him when a goal's been conceded, and he's almost, you know, he's in his own sort of world. His head's down. I don't think that will happen with David Luiz. I think Pepe as well. Obviously, I think you spend that much money on him. I think you're going to try and get him in as soon as possible, because apparently the analysis team reviewed last season's stats and saw that away from home we just weren't powerful or quick enough on the break to make, you know, to take chances and stuff like that. So if he's been purchased because of that reason, you've got to do what you can, probably behind the scenes, put him on a proper fitness program to get him up to speed. And I'm sure we'll see him maybe 20 minutes or so, maybe against Newcastle, and then get him into the team as quickly as possible. But I think, you know, I think on Twitter I might have said I'm a bit wary about Luiz. I weren't sure about it. But I think if you're looking at someone who's going to make an instant impact of the ones that we've got, it's definitely going to be Luiz. And, you know, we definitely need that, because we all know how bad we were last season defensively.
Michael, yeah, exactly. Sorry. I think, Michael, yeah, I think basically you said it yourself, but Luiz, with Koscielny, heads dropping. I can never imagine David Luiz's head just to drop. Just can't imagine that. He'll almost be spurred on if things are going wrong.
Yeah, we've seen him, you know, I mean, he's been sent off against us a couple of times, hasn't he, I think?
Yeah.
You know, when things don't go his way, he doesn't sort of, you know, withdraw. He tends to you know, lash out, you know, or put a bit of aggression into it. I think he's been told that, you know, it's been said a few times that he sort of sulks a little bit, you know, things don't go his way. But I think he's in London still. He knows what Arsenal is all about. Two, he's going to have a kind of point to prove to Lampard, you know, and to everyone else, you know, who's sort of giving him a bit of stick since he's left. So I'm happy, you know, with that. And I think, you know, he's just what we sort of need, as you said. If Saliba comes in, has a good last year with his club, comes in and takes over, and then obviously Luiz has got another year there to still be part of the squad. Then I think it's a great move. It's like forward thinking. It's funny that we've said, I think at the start of the summer, when we all had a chat, I think on WhatsApp, I think we all to a man said I don't think we've ever been as less enthusiastic about a coming season. We thought the transfer market, the budget was 45 million. We thought, well, that's nothing. How on earth are we going to improve on what we did and what we need to do on that? And we've done it. It's amazing, you know, in 4 weeks, the turnaround. And you know, like you said, hats off to the team that they've got there now, you know, who've done what they've done. You know, they've shown a completely different side, something that we didn't think was possible. And everyone, and even though they hate it, the pundits, you know, the amount of times yesterday, you know, was watching the pundits saying, oh, who had the best window?
Yeah.
And
yeah,
they all said Arsenal. And you could see that, you know, wow, you know, this is unreal. You know, it's not usually us that get that sort of, no. You know, we've identified what we needed to do. And I think, you know, like you said, Neil, Martinelli, I think Martinelli, might go the route with Guendouzi. I think, you know, when he first came, he showed some promises in pre-season last year.
Correct.
A lot of people thought, well, okay, he might have a few games here and there, but you know what? Emery sort of threw him in, and we saw that he done really, really well. He burnt out a bit towards the end of the season. I wouldn't be surprised if he does the same with Martinelli to a certain extent. Gives him his minutes, and if he shows something different and he brings something to the table, then he'll stick by him. I think he'll keep him in. But it's just all positive. Yeah. It's all positive, because suddenly the dynamics of the team that we'll have, I mean, this season, but especially next season, is going to be so exciting, because all of a sudden we've got the age of the team, the first team will drop significantly. They'll all be younger. They'll all be hungry. They'll all be quick. Majority of them will be quick. And they'll all be powerful as well, and want to prove a point. And you know, we're looking ahead, but you know, really looking forward to Sunday and how we go from there.
It's the power. It's the power. Yeah, sorry, Jack. One more thing, that it's the power that we've missed, Michael, which you've nailed. And I think one last thing on Luiz is he's played under Emery, and there's a relationship there already. And I think that could work in our favour, because I was hearing a lot of people talk about the fact that David Luiz is the kind of player that if he's working for the right person, you'll get the best out of him. So it's just a matter if Emery can do that, and if he can harness that out of him, then, you know, for 8 million, that's just nothing, isn't it, these days? It's an incredible buy if it works out well. So well done to the team behind all of that.
Yeah, and that's what I like as well. I think they've really looked at it, and we all talk about the weaknesses all year. We haven't got this, we can't play out the back he's trying to, we haven't got the footballers to do that. I feel like the signings, you know, the specific profile of the players, and we don't know, like you said, how they're going to fit in, but the profile of the players is really right. You know, they're really, really right. Like, Ceballos is exactly what we need. I know he's technically our replacement for Ramsey, but I mean, he's so comfortable on the ball, and we lacked that so much in the middle of the park last season when you had, you know, and he moves the ball with pace. Everything's urgent with him. Every time I watch him in clips or in pre-season, it's almost like he wants to move fast towards that all the time. Mm. And we lack that so much. And, you know, I will get onto the sales as well, but I think you're right with Martinelli as well. You know, the Iwobi sale, also our biggest sale ever.
That's crazy.
Puts a downer on it a little bit, isn't it? How can Iwobi be our biggest sale? But or it's him or Ox. They're looking at the numbers and they're saying it's him or Ox. But I personally, obviously, I think on this podcast, I was probably the biggest fan of Iwobi in a way, mainly because his comfort on the ball. So if this sale happened at the start of the window, I would have been like, well, who's comfortable on the ball? But everyone that I see now, Ceballos, Luis, he's obviously one of the most comfortable centre-backs you're going to find on the ball.
Yeah.
I think Pepe, everything I see about Pepe is, you know, loves running with the ball at pace, on the ball, off the ball, very good technically. So I feel like our technical level has gone up a lot. And that's allowed the Iwobi sale not to make me feel too uncomfortable. Obviously, he hasn't really had a great season with Arsenal. I know you boys were pretty ecstatic about his sale, which I don't know if I was ecstatic, but you know what he does do though, Michael. What kind of precedent do you think it sets though? And this is a positive to the younger players, right? There he is. This is the youngster that's, let's face it, he's the one that, you know, Niles, Saka, Nelson, they all probably look to and go, well, he's made it to the first team, hasn't he?
Yeah.
He's made it into the first team. All right, he's not achieved maybe what he wants, but he's made it to the first team.
Yeah.
And Arsenal have just cut the cord in an instant. There was no rumour about him leaving.
Yeah.
And they've just said, you're not done enough, mate.
Yeah.
You're off. And what I think that's a really good signal to younger players to say, if you don't do it, we're going to get someone in that can do it.
Yeah.
And we'll give you the chance, though. We're not a club like Chelsea that won't, unless we've got a transfer ban and be forced to. We will give you a chance purposely.
Yes.
But if you don't do it, you're off. And I think that's good. Do you think that's good,
Mark? Yeah, absolutely. I mean, look, let's get it right. You know, we talk about the previous regime, and we're not here to sort of, you know, have a go at it. But, you know, it's pretty much, we know what you know, it was about. You know, you played well. You didn't play well, you know, you were sort of given another chance the next game and you played again and again. I mean, you know, Iwobi, to his credit, you know, he was one of the ones last season when Emery first came in the first couple of games. He was one of the most improved players I think we had in the team, him along with Bellerin
and Holding
as well. Yeah, they were the three that we were like, wow, you know, especially Bellerin, because I think we were all pretty critical of Bellerin's performance the season before and Iwobi's. And we always check back to that performance of Iwobi when he played against Chelsea, when we beat Chelsea, I think 3-0. And, you know, he's shown flashes. You know, he's had a couple of substitute performances. He's come on and he's scored a goal. He's turned the game a bit. And obviously he scored a goal in the final last season. But I think it's a wake-up call, I think, to the people, you know, who are still there that apparently, according to Emery, are going to... A couple of them will move on. So you're talking, you know, and then he's possibly your Monreal, even though he's named Monreal as one of his captains. But for me, I've always said that, you know, if you're playing for one of the top, if you're playing for one of the top four, top six teams, and you're an attacking player, especially Arsenal over the years, if you're an attacking player and you're playing, you know, 30 odd games a season in the league, you've got to be delivering, double figures in goals or assists.
Absolutely.
You know, if you can do it in both categories, then that's just you're talking Perez, you know, levels. But if you're playing in that sort of attacking, you know, way and that team, and you're getting a lot of possession and you're getting a lot of balls in the last third, and you're making the wrong decisions over and over and over again, I think any other top clubs, you wouldn't be given as many chances as Iwobi has got. You know, you've got to be getting double figures in goals or assists if you're playing for a club that are supposedly meant to be, you know, going for the Champions League and stuff like that. And unfortunately, Iwobi didn't. He never got near that. Do you know what I mean? And that's not having a go. That's just facts. That's not saying he's had chances. He's had games. He's had loads of positions where he's got himself in great positions. Whether it's have a shot on goal or put a ball through, and he's messed it up countless times. So, you know, it's not having a go at him. I think it's the club realising that you how many chances are you going to give this guy? And one, they haven't got any obligations to him because, one, Emery didn't sign him. The regime that's in there, he may have been there from when he was seven, you know, and all the way through to his age now, but those guys weren't there to see that. They're just judging it on, is he good enough to be in the team where we need to go to? And they decided not, you know, and that's the bottom line, you know. So, yeah, it would have been great if he made it, you know, but, you know, being there for so long, but, you know, we can't be, to get where we need to be, we can't be sympathetic anymore.
No,
you know, we can't have that mindset.
No.
We can't have that mindset of, oh, he's, you know, he's been there for so long, oh, we've got to give him another chance. Let's put our arm around him and stuff like that, you know.
No.
We did that with Theo too much, and as I said with earlier, I think if Wenger was still there, I think Iwobi would still be with the club. I just think we'd still be, you know, giving him chance after chance, and I just don't think that's right. And I think Michael, you know, it's right. Look, let's just say one thing. I wish him luck because he's been an Arsenal boy since the age of seven. He's grown up with the club, and as long as he doesn't do well against us, I really do wish him well. I truly mean that. But I just think you've got to judge a player, as you said, as what's happening now. You can't look at the history. You can't look at sentiment. I think we've been far too sentimental in the past, and we've got to move away from that. And I think this new regime is doing that. They're not taking no nonsense. You know, we saw it even in the first season of Emery, where he wasn't allowing Ozil just to stay on the pitch for the whole game. If he didn't think he was doing well, take him off, and making those substitutions at half-time. So I think we are seeing a change in a brand new chapter in Arsenal Football Club with Emery on board. I just feel it's just going to get better and better. And hopefully we'll start off with seeing some real true improvements this season.
The slight unfortunate thing there, and I don't blame really anyone currently in charge, is I presume there are players that they'd rather have sold before Wobi. You know what I mean? I'm sure we would rather have got rid of Mkhitaryan, probably even Ozil, you know, Mustafi's. But because of the wage that they've been given by the previous loyal EFC, we couldn't remove them, could we? Do you know what I mean? You look at the left side, Neil. But you're really saying there's an opportunity for one of Saka or Nelson or Martinelli, because we're not going to play Aubameyang and Laka every game.
No,
he's not going to stay out wide every game. So what we're saying is that one of those boys is going to have a real big chance this season, and they obviously know who, or they're going to try and test them all out, but they obviously have an idea of who they really trusted out of those three, and they're going to allow him the chance. And I'm absolutely fine with that. That was the only thing I would have been like, we could have ideally got rid of a few others. But let's touch on sales a little bit, Neil. We might go back to the signings a little bit. I do want to talk about Pepe a little bit more. But Koscielny, Neil, you're a bit more positive than maybe me and Michael might be on Koscielny. Certainly Mark, I know that. Thoughts on him, mate? He left a little bit of sour taste in a lot of Arsenal fans' mouth. Could have been handled better overall by everyone, probably, couldn't it?
No, I'm completely with you. I sent out a tweet without seeing the video of his unveiling. I wished him luck. You know, end of the day, he's given years of service. Yes, he's had his bad moments, but I think overall he was the best of what we had, I thought, in defence for quite a while. We did miss him when he was injured, you know, within the Europa semi-final season before last. If players have tried their best and given commitment, I always wish them well. And then you guys were saying something about this video. I hadn't seen it. I looked at it and I thought, hang on a minute, that's just not right. You know, you can... I don't mind him having his new shirt on and thanking Arsenal Football Club, all the rest of it. But the way that was done, I thought it was childlike. I thought it was really immature. Yeah. I thought it was really immature. And it really... And it almost was two fingers up at his old club. Truly felt that. So I then tweeted, you know, this isn't right. I said my previous sentiments still stand about him, but this wasn't right and it wasn't handled well. And then I had someone saying, well, you know, you fans are too sensitive or whatnot. And I'm thinking, hang on a minute. End of the day, even if the guys around him wanted him to do it that way, he could have said, no, I'm not disrespecting my old club like that. I want to be unveiled in a proper way, like most players are, or all players are to that for that matter, and just have the new shirt on, and that's it. I do not want to do that. It's almost like he took the old Arsenal shirt off, chucked it away, you know, to hell with you lot. I'm in my new club now. No, I didn't like it, Jack. So yes, I was positive about him, but then when I saw that, I was like, you really haven't done yourselves any favours, and you haven't endeared yourself to so many Arsenal fans. But to be honest, it was a slight blemish on what was a great transfer window. I don't want to take anything away from that. And then, just going on what you said about some of the other departures that we thought were going to come before Iwobi, but apparently you guys were saying that Elneny isn't finished yet. He says there are still going to be two or three more departures. So it could, the players that you just named, they could be, you know, part of that exodus.
That's true. You're right. That's true. We could get one or two more surprises. I get the feeling it might not be, you know, the big wages, but yeah, you never know. You know, this window's been so crazy, you just don't know. But Mike, what about you? What's your thoughts on the cost thing? I just didn't like the way he went against his contract, to be honest, but what's your thoughts?
Yeah, again, that's probably him harking back on, but before, you know, the old regime would have said, okay, we would have pushed. I mean, you know, they say a week's a long time in football, but, you know, Christ, this guy was in his testimonial year, and you'll think, hang on, I was playing in the French Division 2, 9 years ago, got picked out of nowhere, got sent off in my first game for the club. Mm-hmm. You know, got sent off against Liverpool, improved a bit, gave away loads of penalties, loads of mistakes. He was back still. Messed up in the Carling Cup final, our first chance of winning the trophy in God knows how long, was back still. Gave him the captaincy after that. And then he improved to become, you know, one of the top defenders in the world. You know, and that's not being biased. He was up. There was one season, one pit spell where he was unbelievable, and you had people sniffing around him. And then for that to happen, not to go on a plane on a tour, where you've got like these youngsters that we're talking about coming through, looking up at him. It just left a sour taste in the mouth. And you know, you see all these announcement videos, like Neil said, you know. I don't think I've seen one like that before, where someone's taken a shirt off the previous club and, you know, just cast it aside and then put on the new one. I think Ceballos did that. I think Ceballos did that to a certain extent when he joined us. He was in the shadows, so you couldn't see the shirt that he took. You could see the shirt he took off was a Madrid one, and he put on another shirt and then he took it off. So people are saying that's Tottenham's shirt. But he hasn't played for Tottenham. He hasn't been at Tottenham for 9 years, so he can do that. It's a throwaway thing. It's a little jab, but for someone who the club's invested so much, and forget the guys, all those fucking injuries he's had.
And yet he's turned around and done that as well.
So for me, it's like, yeah, you might have your reasons to leave the club and want to go back home, and you put your body through it and everything. But come on, man, you know you got to have a bit of class. You know that's what the club supposedly has been about, especially with him backing him. With his Achilles injury right up until last season. Like Neil said, it's been a great, you know, window, and that has just been the slight blemish. It's a shame we won't come across him in the Europa League or something, because I don't think they're in it. So
I know it is, because he's not going to get a good reception. And I think to a certain extent, rightly so, because what we can't forget either, like you touched on it there, is the injury part. Last year, there was a strong hint that it was going to be Koscielny's last season.
Yeah, it's finished.
He then conceded a goal when we were battering Atletico Madrid.
It was his fault.
Then he tore his Achilles, and we decided, no, we're going to stick by you, Glory. We'll even let you go back to France and do your rehab there. You have a bit of time with the family, son. All right? No worries. Okay? And then he goes and because someone's given him, a handshake gesture, he knows the whole board upwards has changed, and he just expects us to let him go for free. We're not a charity. I bet the board could not have waited for the ability to exert some sort of power. Ramsey left for free, Cech left for free, Welbeck left for free. They couldn't do anything about it, could they? And then this one, they went, hold on a minute, we've put something in the contract here. You're not going anywhere. Not until we get what we are owed from you. And I think it was absolutely right. I mean, the club would never have released that statement a year ago, would they?
No way.
And that's I loved it. I went, oh, we're horrible. This is brilliant.
Yeah.
I was like, this is fantastic. Everyone like, that's not classy. I went, no, that's brilliant. And I love how Lauren, he doesn't come out, everyone's like, you haven't heard two sides of the story. Well, I'm sorry. It doesn't matter what it is. At this point, you've gone against what you could have said, look, I really want to leave. I'll come on the tour with you, but if you can try to find me a move,
exactly.
Why couldn't you do that? We would have gone, okay, we'll see if we can get a fee for you, and we'll see if we can you know, make find a solution for you. That's basically what Luis is, isn't it? It's a similar fee, bit more of a wage, but relatively speaking, it's a direct replacement, different player, obviously. But and I think he handled it really, really unprofessionally. Yeah.
It's crazy.
It's left a sour taste in my mouth. Do you worry, Mike, that obviously, you know, in fairness to Laurent Koscielny, he probably was still our best centre back last season.
Yeah.
And you know, we've got to directly replace him. The Chambers, I think we all agree, isn't up to it. So Luis has got, you know, he's got a bit of pressure there. We've got to come in and be better, really, but at least as good as him and Socrates, haven't we?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, that's the annoying thing. Despite him being rushed back, you know, Koscielny, because he was rushed back, wasn't he? And I think that's part of the reason he's had this grievance with it being that they rushed him back too soon and they didn't really take care of him, you know, and whatnot. But yeah, he held us together, you know, in certain matches. So we all know defensively was the big problem. But again, you've got to remember we lost Holding and we lost Bellerin, and you know that was massive on the seasons that they were having. Especially, you know, you look back at that London Derby, the North London Derby when we turned them over 4-2, how good those two were in that game, you know, and then to lose them like we did. And unfortunately, you know, that just totally threw us, you know, off kilter for a bit. So hopefully with them two back again, you know, and by that time, Luis would have been firmly settled, probably alongside Socrates. You know, I'm confident that he's got a point to prove. So he's going to want to do what he can. He'd probably be charging around trying to organise everything and throw his body, you know, in the way of things, which is what he did for Chelsea. So I'm sure again he's got a point to prove, and you know people will be watching him. So I'm sure he'll do the business.
Yeah, all these Chelsea fans getting so upset coming out, going, "Well, he's our fourth choice." I'm like, "But have you looked at who's ahead of him, boys? They're all lonely. He's coming back. You didn't want him back. Exactly. You wouldn't have had him back." So I mean,
it's been funny.
Six That's... games for you last season. So. I went, it's an odd fourth choice when he played 36 games for you last season. Did pretty well. Year before was the pinnacle to winning the league. Whatever, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm not so sure it's fourth choice.
Some kid that's played in the Championship for Derby, you know, is back and ahead of him in the pecking order, apparently. And, you know, Zuma as well. And, you know, so, again, people want to revision stuff and say stuff that isn't true, just to make it a little bit easier for them to accept it. You know, they had a little clip on Twitter where I think a guy was outside Chelsea Stadium and there was a Chelsea fan pretending to punch David Luiz's picture or poster that was up.
I saw it.
He wouldn't be doing that if he weren't, you know, bothered, was he? So, you know, again, of course they want to make up as they want to.
I think a lot of people getting worried, you know, they're comparing it to the Czech signing, and I didn't like the Czech signing even when it happened, and the Sylvester, and I can see slight similarities with the Gallas one, because Gallas was a bit of an individual as well when he came in, and he didn't really, you know, go with the grain, did he? Kind of caused a bit of an uproar, and things like I could see, but I think Luis, everything I've seen is if he works under a manager that he really likes, he seems to do really well, so my hope is, he says good things about Emery, doesn't he? When he signed, he said, I really like Emery. I love working with him. And defenders tend to really like Emery, don't they? Socrates has got no bad word to say about him.
Yeah.
So it's going to be interesting. I wanted to wait for Mark. I think he's about 5 minutes away, but I want to talk to you boys about Pepe. What do you think, Neil? Pepe, Zaha, it was going on. I know Michael and Mark, they were pushing the Zaha thing big. I don't know a load about Pepe.
I don't either. I don't.
But... No. When was the last time, though, Neil? Maybe you boys remember. You're a lot older than me. But maybe you'll remember.
Cheers, mate. Cheers, Jack.
Thanks, Jack.
Maybe you'll remember. When was the last time we had a left-footed right winger? Do you remember? I can't remember anyway. Can you?
No. I don't remember it.
Because he really is a right winger. Everywhere I read, he's like, he plays on the right. He really wants to play on the right.
Glenn Helder?
Yeah, did he play out wide? No, I feel like.
Oh, please.
I feel like I only saw him out last time. Glenn Elder. I've still got his shirt, number 32.
Do you know he's been tweeting me because I did a poll. I was laughing. I did a poll just before we bought Pepe. That, well, who would you rather prefer, Zaha, Pepe, or. And I put as a little comical thing, Glenn Elder. And he tweeted. He started tweeting me. He really found it funny and it was being really nice. I thought, bloody hell. Well, that's all right.
Oh, brilliant.
It's quite, but yeah.
Brilliant.
No, I don't remember anyone like that apart from but Glenn Helder, yeah. Glenn Helder, our marathon man. Yes, yes.
Yeah. But, well, I mean, Mike. I'm sorry. Now, what do you feel, Zaha, to him? Because Zaha's obviously a lot of people would say Premier League.
Yeah.
You know, basically, this guy looks a level above to me, but I've not watched him live yet, so I'm not gonna.
Neither have I. I don't know too much about him, but all I can say is. I trust in what Emery's doing, and he likes the guy. I think it was publicised that Zaha was our number one target pretty much for the whole of the transfer window. And yes, where he probably has got an advantage is very much like Luis. He's got the Premiership experience. He's lived and breathed the Premiership his career. So I think in that respect, he's probably up to the pace of it all and the expectations and the physicality of it all. So yes, but I agree. I would probably feel that Pepe doesn't seem to be that kind of player that's going to kind of shy away from that. And I think he's going to, as I said right at the beginning, he might take a little bit of time getting used to it, but I don't think it'll take too long. And I believe, as you just quite rightly said, Jack, that his technical ability will help him through that. I think he's a wonderful signing. I wouldn't have dreamed of it. You know, for me, that came out of nowhere as well. And all of a sudden, Christ, we've been. I thought that can't be right because we're always linked to everyone. So no, it can't be. It's just all media speculation again. And then all of a sudden,
well, even Ornstein, mate, even Ornstein said it was media.
Yeah. And then all of a sudden, it's announced on Sky that we've signed Pepe. Like, what? Where the hell did that come from? And you know, I just love the pundits trying to bits. They were so egg on their face and trying to make out. Oh, look, but Arsenal only had 45 million spin, and they were trying to work it out. And you know, Darmish and the other twat was trying to work out how we managed to afford. And I just thought, shut up. Just say something. Just say something positive about Arsenal for once in your life. You know, just say it's a great bit of business. You know, it's what Arsenal have been lacking for many years. They've gone and bought out a 72 million, what could potentially be a superstar. And I, as I said earlier, I don't know so much about him, but I have every faith in Emery. And I think he's got a blinder there. Whether he will be the signing of our summer window, that remains to be seen. But I think it's all looking so positive. You know, going forward, we already had decent attack. Now it's been enhanced. But what strikes me about all of this is we've improved in every single area, the midfield and also the defence. You know, we're going to be more of a complete team and a complete unit, which will be able to probably do a lot better. Well, the whole reason why we're here. We want to see a massive improvement on last year. And I think, Michael, you were right, because Holding and Bellerin were fantastic against Tottenham. And they both suffered those injuries very close together. And I feel even though it destabilised us for a while, I think that resonated throughout the whole season, and hence why we conceded. For me, that was probably the most goals we've conceded in years, I think.
Yeah.
And if it weren't for those two injuries, I don't think we would have. And now that they're going to be coming back and then we've bought these replacements, if we can keep tight at the back, you know, we were only, if you think about it, 2 points away from third. 2 points.
Yeah.
So I know you're going to ask about predictions in a bit, Jack, but I think we've got to do better than that this season, surely. We really have to.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah. Yeah, so, Mike, what about your thoughts? Pepe, have you watched him a lot? I know he did fantastic for Lille last season. A lot of people say, well, he only had one great season, but his numbers were really, really good last season.
Yeah.
He's a bit younger than Zaha, isn't he? He's 24, I think, so he's a little younger. What's your thoughts on him? He looks terrific.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't seen much of him, you know, in the fresh, you know, live, you know, on TV, matches or anything like that. The only thing I've seen has been you know, those YouTube compilations that they put, welcome to Manchester United. So thanks to all those United fans that did that video. You know, it's great for that hard work has not been wasted. So, you know, just to see all those clips of him. And he looks the business, you know. He looks, like you said, direct. He likes to cut in on his left foot, it seems, a lot. And, you know, very cute. But it's, he's, you know, seems clinical in the last third. I mean, people say, oh, well, you had 9 penalties or something like that. But, you know, when Harry Kane scores all these penalties, no one really mentions
that.
But the thing with me, what some of the stats that came out was he was fouled the most times in the league last year or something like that, and he didn't pick up a single injury, which bodes well. Yeah. I probably jinxed it now, but I think you find a lot of clubs now maybe trying to get young players from France, because I think I heard it seems to be a bit more physical league now, and they're more, and that makes them more used to the Premier League when they come over. So obviously we've got Saliba as well, who seems like a bit of a unit, you know, even though he's only 18, he's 18, isn't he? So
yeah.
It bodes well if he's gone in the league and he's had all that, those fouls against him, and he's dusted himself now and got up and he's done the business. Bodes really well, you know, because I think in the Premier League, the art of defending is seen to be going out the window, it seems, for most clubs. So, you know, if he's going to have that licence, and we've got VAR as well with penalty, you know, shouts and things like that, I think he's going to pleasantly surprise a lot of us, so a lot of people this season, fingers crossed.
Yeah, he's got a lot of pace. Looks like a proper counter-attacking winger as well.
Yeah.
A lot of his goals came from deep, didn't they? And he was just getting... That does seem like the way Emery wants to play away from home. I'm not sure I'm that comfortable with it. He doesn't seem to be a massive possession guy, but I'm hoping we see us control games a little bit more, you know, this season. But also, just to touch on the sales, I mean, we sold Costa Rat, as we've mentioned. Jenkinson almost got a testimonial, unlucky mate. Everyone's way too nice to Jenkinson, aren't they? Everyone's gone, oh, you live in a dream. Oh, come on. $45,000 a week to sit on the bench. He averaged about 3 games a year for us. I mean, I know he went out on loan a couple of times, but I never knocked him when he came in. He always gave 100%, but of course he did. He'd been resting for 6 months before he played the next game. I mean, all right. I mean, oh, I think everyone went a bit over the top on it. Everyone, oh, he's living out our dream. And I went, he's been milking it a bit. You know, I mean, he's been milking it a little bit. You know, I'm surprised he didn't sit around for one more year and get a nice big pay packet at the end of it. But because he had one more year left, didn't he? So nice enough, chap. But I think it's a bit overdone. You know, he's wasted a whole career sitting there, and he basically said, so "Fair enough, all right." But then we got rid of him. Well, I know I'll get pelters for it now. I don't care.
Jack, no, it's fine. I just thought you turned into Mark for a second, just because he's absent from this podcast.
Yeah, well, he said he can't make it, so I thought I had to do a little Mark, you know. But look at Bilic. I mean, that's a good sale. You know, he's not playing a minute of Premiership football. I like Bilic.
I liked Bilic.
But 10 million, mate, is not bad. Mark,
no.
You can't moan about that, really. So no. I think we've sold... I mean, we haven't sold necessarily... But like you said, there's a few weeks left. Maybe Mustafi, maybe Elneny, maybe a left-back, Monreal, Kolasinac, one of them. Maybe they move on as well. And we, you know, the budget starts to look, you know, very good again coming into the next window. I think he's done really, really well. But let's preview the game. Let's spend 10 minutes just previewing the game if we've got 10 minutes. We've got Newcastle on Sunday. I'll start with you, Mike. It's really from pre-season. You know, it's really hard to judge pre-season. It's not been a great one. It's not been a terrible one. But who do you think, any surprises in that lineup? It's really hard to judge it. But do you think like Willick might get a start?
I'd be surprised if he does. To be honest, I think he'll go. Yeah, first game of the season. You go safe. Obviously, you'd be probably Xhaka and. Probably Mkhitaryan, even though I don't think off his pre-season form, he probably doesn't deserve that. I think Willock definitely deserves it. It'd be fantastic to see him start, because it just shows he's been rewarded. As we were saying before, the youngster, you come in, you do well, like Guendouzi did pre-season, you start the game because you deserve it, you deserve the shirt. So I hope it is Willock, but I'm just going with first game of the season, we've got all these signings, people are saying we've had a great window, so again, you know, the pressure is on Emery, because, you know, if we, you know, we're going to ask where we want to finish or where we should finish, but, you know, I think the pressure's on him now. He needs to deliver that Champions League place, and if we need to be in a good spot come the turn of the year, especially when the window opens again, because I think we're going to be active again, I think, especially if we remove on some of those players that you just mentioned, Jack, for reasonably good money. It all adds up to getting that Red Bull centre back or someone else. I think Luiz will probably play with Socrates if it's a 4-2-3-1, and it will be if Ozil isn't playing, obviously, then that frees up a space. So again, it's going to be interesting, but I think he'll go safe with Xhaka and Mkhitaryan in that team.
Mm. I reckon we might see a surprise. I think we might see maybe two youngsters start. I don't know, Nelson, Willock. I think one of them's going to start that game, I'll get the feeling. But especially as Lacazette is still coming back from his knock, and you know, we got a few players that aren't quite fit and ready. I know Ceballos, I think, would have maybe started, but he had this knock against Barcelona where they had
a bad
tackle on him. But Neil, what's your concerns going into the new season? We talked about all the signings, we talked them up a lot. Where do you still see our weaknesses in the team?
Wow, that's a tough one. I think the weaknesses will lie in how quickly the new boys adjust. I think that's really the only one. I mean, if we're going to be carrying on and playing the likes of Xhaka and Mkhitaryan, and don't get me wrong, there are many fans out there who actually see a lot of good in them, and I'm not quite so sure about that. And if Michael's right and he does stick with those players, and we have to, until Tierney, is he not fit yet? I think he's injured, isn't he?
He's about six weeks away, so
that means we're gonna have to play some of our older guard, which we probably would have not wanted, I'm guessing. So my only weakness is potentially there, and in how quickly the new boys adjust. But I'm struggling to find any negatives at the moment, Jack, about anything, because I think...
Because we haven't played, that's why.
Look, let's not get us... Newcastle are a good... seem to be doing quite well. They're a physical team. And that's why I'd like to see David Luiz start straight away, because if they're physical, then he can counter that, hopefully. But it's hard to predict. I think we need to see a couple of games and see where we go at the moment. But I'm going to be positive, and I'm going to say, at the moment, I feel very elated. I feel on a high, and I think we're going to start off with a win. It's going to be a tough game. It isn't going to be easy, but I think we'll do okay. And I'm going to say the weaknesses, there still might be some there. I'm not going to say they're not, but I think they have been mitigated to quite a large extent during this summer window.
Okay. No, you've been very kind on Granit Xhaka there, I think.
Come on, Jack. Well, what are your weaknesses? What are your fears? Come on, Mr. Positive. Come on, you tell us. What are your fears?
I did start positive, but then it feels like I've been overcome with this ray of negativity. I think oh, God. A little bit. Positive. I am positive. I think, like you said, you know, the new signings, bedding them in as soon as possible is going to be important, because I feel like all the new signings, bar Martinelli, can be starters. Do you know what I mean? Like when I look at them, I'm like, they can all take someone else's position. Tierney could be our best left back. Luiz should fit Stroll right in because Holding's not fit. Pepe, you know, clearly he's our mega signing. So, you know, him on the right. And I think Ceballos, his technicality is vital to get him in the midfield. I really think it's important to have a player like that in there, because I just think we move the ball too slowly. And so that's my biggest concern with Xhaka. It's not that he's not a good footballer. If I kicked about with him in the back of the garden, he'd look brilliant. But the problem is, you haven't got that time, and he takes five or six touches to do what a top footballer does in two, I think.
Mm, so that, very good point.
That's my concern. And my other big concern is, although I think he's a really good player, is Niles. I watched him in pre-season, and I'll tell you what, he almost looked like a schoolboy when he got done by Coleman one time.
Yeah, someone else said that.
I think Luis needs to, his first job, obviously, other than fitting into centre-back, is to really get attached to him and be in his ear constantly, positive talking. You know what I mean? Like, he just seems like he needs to be constantly reassured of his own ability. It's really weird because he like, even, do you remember watching the Barcelona game? I mean, he was probably the best player on the pitch. And then he did that, and his head drops, and he's awful. And you just can't, he's going to make a mistake. We're not expecting the world from him. Even Bellerin made mistakes, didn't he? I mean, so we're not, but what we are expecting is you can't drop your head. You can't be like that in the middle of a game, because that's what lost us. That's why we capitulate last season, things like that. So, you know, we can't have that. So I think that Niles does concern me a little bit. Obviously, you know, left back without Turney, you know, we're going to have to kind of go with Nacho or Kaslak is a little bit of a worry. And then and then the Xhaka position. But I think we can protect him a little bit better. A little bit, yeah. So that concerns me a little bit. I'm going to go to you both real quick before we finish. Mike, season expectations. So what do you expect? Where are we going to finish? And give me your score predictions for Newcastle.
I'll go 2-1, Newcastle. To beat Newcastle. And I think we'll finish.
Get off the pod.
Well, no, 2-1. We'll beat Newcastle 2-1.
I'm joking.
Right,
I like it. I like it.
2-1. And I think we'll finish in the top four, definitely. I think, you know, again, as Neil said, we're 2 points away from it. You know, that ridiculous run of games that we had at the end of the season just totally messed us up. I think the whole run in with the Europa League messed us up as well. But I think this season will. I think we'll finish in the top four. You know, whether it's fourth or third, I don't care. But we'll definitely finish in the top four. I think the other two are just too far ahead. You know, Liverpool and City. So it is going to be a straight up fight for those two places. And I think we're good enough to get them, especially if we get, you know, the likes of Bellerin and Holding back in good stead, and we haven't lost anybody else significant as well.
Yeah. That's another thing that with the transfer window, I think that's really sort of made it feel a little bit better is the teams around us, what they've done. I don't think any of the teams have had a as good a window as us. City, obviously, are in a different league almost to us. It's hard to judge, you know, what do they need to do? But Liverpool haven't done anything, really, of note. So I feel that they're weaker in a way. Certainly depth-wise, they're weaker.
We need to be wary, look over our shoulders, because you look at the teams, especially Leicester.
Everton as well
spent money. And even, you know, I mean, and West Ham, you know, they spent money, but, you know, they're probably not going to do anything. But it just shows the intent of those guys. So we also, we've got to look ahead, but, you know, we can't mess around and slip up, because all of a sudden it's going to look a little bit scary if we're fighting for seventh or something like that, or we're languishing in seventh.
Big pressure on Emery now. I mean, it's all he couldn't have asked for any more this window. Yeah. I mean, after capitulating, he's got to take some responsibility for that, hasn't he?
At the
end of the season, I bet he thought, oh, you know, what am I going to get here? And he's probably got almost everything he wanted, maybe even more. Yes. I don't know, but so he's really on him now. Neil, what's your season expectations and the score predictions?
I think I mentioned it earlier. I think we're probably in a much stronger position to break into the top four. I normally go and say we're going to win the quads, but you know, end of the day, I say that with a bit of light-heartedness. I think we need to learn to walk again before we can run, because yes, as you both mentioned, I think Man City and Liverpool are too far ahead of probably everyone else at the moment in that top six lineup. I think we need to just improve on last season, and I think we can. I think we will actually break into the top four. I'm confident. And with regards to cups, you know, we might do well in the Europa again. We might be able to get into the final and maybe even win that. And who knows? But I think for me, I just want to see an improvement in how we actually play
how we don't capitulate, how we don't drop our heads, as you mentioned earlier, Jack, especially with Niles being an example. I just want to see us have more fight and vigour and play the full game until the end of the whistle, you know, with just as much tenacity as it starts off from kickoff. I just want to, even when we're losing, I want to see us fight for our lives. And I mean that for absolutely every game. You're both very right about talking about the teams that might be considered just behind us. You know, one of the teams that also I'm a bit wary of is Wolves, and you know, Wolves are a good unit, and yeah, and they've got a very good manager, and you know, we can't, complacency is the word. We have fallen foul to complacency on so many occasions. We've got to stop doing that. We've got to treat literally every game like the last game of their lives. That's the way I want to see them play. And that, for me, would give me a lot of pleasure. If we don't end up with any silverware, that's fine. But if I see us break into the top four and we win some really good, notable games during the season as well, I think that would give me a lot of confidence then going into the season after. And we can build on that. And as far as Sunday's concerned, I think it's going to be a tough game. It's going to be physical for Newcastle, I believe. But I think we'll just do them on our new tech, you know, on the technicality of maybe the pace, and if Laka is fit, because I think they're going to watch him until the start of that game. I think we could probably win that maybe 2-1 or 3-1, as Michael said. I'll be slightly different. I'll go 3-1 for that game. And just before I go, and before your prediction, Jack, I just want to mention the issues that Kolasinac and Ozil are having with this nightmare going on with them being intimidated and threatened. I'm sorry, I just think that's disgusting. I really feel for them, and you know, you were talking about exits. You know, that could be the thing, especially for Kolasinac, to say I'm getting out of this country and I'm moving on.
You don't know how. I feel like it could affect Ozil more than him for some reason.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, he just seems like a very sort of, I don't know, a little bit private in his own. I don't know. It just doesn't. I mean, it's not nice for anyone, is it?
It's disgusting, and this that's got to be knocked on the head. But you know, what can you do? You know, if they're getting targeted around their homes as well now, what how much can you do? How much investment in policing can you do to give them protection? It's just not on, and I'm so disgusted by that today. So I just wanted to mention that, and I just you know, hope that they're okay and their families are all right, and you know, they don't have to suffer any much more of this nonsense. So yeah, that's it. But 3-1 Sunday, Jack.
3-1, lovely. I'm gonna go 1-0. Which I can't believe I'm gonna go 1-0, because how are we not gonna concede? Because he's gonna start Chambers, isn't he? I'll go 1-0 though. I'm gonna go 1-0 Arsenal. Aubameyang, because he's been unreal in the preseason.
Yeah,
he's like been I don't know what he's been on. You're like Usain Bolt. He's been ridiculous. I'll go 1-0. And I think we've got to stay as close to Spurs, as much as it sounds silly, but I think we've got to stay as close. And we know they're going to be probably the team that's right below Liverpool and City, I think.
Yeah,
we've got to stay as close to them as possible. And we've got to wait for all their players that are running their contract down to start spitting their dummies out as it comes in the season. And we got to take full advantage of that, because they've got 3 or 4 players that, if they don't leave at the end of this window, are going to go for a free. And they're going to down tools at some point in the season. And when that happens, we got to take full advantage, because that's what's going to happen. And that's what I think. I think we're going to finish third. We're going to finish third. And
lovely. I like that.
And we'll win 1-0. Boys, it's brilliant. Other than Mark not being on, I thought it was a terrific, terrific chat. We'll try and get on a bit more often now this season. Try and, if we can, get on after the Newcastle game at some point. We might not be as regular as we were way back then, but we were going to try and review every game as often as we can. So, if you want to find us, where we're at, we were at Twitter at Purely Arsenal FP, and then just type in Purely Arsenal to any podcast app. Quick thanks to Mark, obviously, for trying to make it back, and then Anthony Palm on Twitter. He does all of our uploading, all of our editing. So if there's any problems with it, sound or anything, you're going to go straight to him. Okay, I don't want to hear it. No, but he's really good. He does it out of the goodness of his heart, and we're going to get him on shortly. But he's really good. He's really helpful to the podcast. I don't think he's doing it.
Well done,
been awesome.
Chat, mate.
Yeah. Cheers, boys. We'll chat. Well, I'm sure we'll chat before and after the game. As soon as the team's announced, we'll chat and have a meltdown.
Yeah. Come on, Jack.
You started off so well, Jack. I couldn't even believe it was you. Come on.
I know. What happened? It's toxic, this forum. Mate, I'm just envisaging Granit Xhaka.
Stop it, Jack.
He's
no
adjusting
more.
His captain's arm.
No more. Stop it.
He points oh, back to David Luiz, who just sticks his finger up at him. Michael,
end the pod on a high. Can you shut up, Jack? Michael, end the pod on a high. Come on. What's happening?
Oh my God.
What do you think of Tottenham?
All right, that's more like it. You too. All the best.
All the best. All the best, boys.